Laura Stanton of the General Services Administration is here to talk about the Hallways program. And it's a terrific demonstration that you've just done for us, Laura, on the Hallways. You mentioned during that demonstration that this began based in e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And your customers told you they wanted one place to come and buy. Tell me how you went from that to what we just saw a few minutes ago. Thanks for coming on today.
Great. Thank you, Francis. Our customer, when we started the project and really looking at our e-commerce, we started out by doing a number of customer interviews. This was approximately 2 years ago. And what we heard from our customers wasn't that they needed an improved place to buy, but rather they needed a place where they could see everything that was available to buy in a particular area. So for IT, how did they understand what all the IT contracts that were available across the government? Because previously you had to know that NASA SEWP existed, that NITAC existed, that Army CHESS existed, that GSA Schedule 70 existed, and then go and check those websites separately. And so what they were really saying is, please just consolidate this information into a single place, tell us what the best practices are, begin to work on what had been a separate prices paid gathering to be able to put that in one place. And ultimately, we created the vision for the acquisition gateway, which takes the concept of category management and the organization of let's take government spend, break it out into categories, and then give people guidance and best practices and solutions for each of those categories and organize the gateway along that lines.
Mm-hmm. It seems like in many ways this was an outgrowth, if you will, of some of the effort that was started in the early 2000s under the, you know, what they used to call the Quicksilver program, the e-government program. But the difference here is not only are you collecting all this information in one place, it's full of tools, it's full of, you know, statements of work, it's full of other things that make really the contracting officer, the contracting specialist, the program manager's life that much easier. I mean, in many ways, that's the end goal. It's not for them to use GSA per se, but for them to have one place to make their lives easier.
That's an excellent point, Jason. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is consolidate all of the information so that when you know that when you have a business requirement or a mission need that you need to fill, there's one place to start. And this may take you, give you the tools to start there. It may end up taking you somewhere else in the end. But at least you'll know what other people are, you'll be able to actually see from, learn, and then from what the information that's there, connect to others in the community, and then use that information to act and inform your buying decision. But I want to go back to the idea of what you were talking about with the eGov and the Quicksilver projects. The government never had not built some of those shared tools across the government. And we really saw that there was an opportunity here and a big white space that we could fill with the acquisition gateway. And that's what we're doing. And it was very well aligned with OFP, Office of Federal Procurement Policy's direction on category management. And so what we ended up with is really a nice alignment of a couple of different initiatives that will benefit the government.
So you mentioned the Learn, Connect, Act principles that are very prominent when you log on to the acquisition gateway. Tell me about each one of those and a little bit about what you intend users to use each one of those concepts for.
So the way that the vision that we see for the gateway and the themes are learn, as you said, learn, connect, and act. So the idea of learning would be learn, if we take IT, learn what contracts are available in that category, learn what the best buying practices are, learn, for example, is there guidance on how I should be buying my laptops and desktops that has been released across for the government. So you have the starting point where you can learn. There's a community feature that is evolving, and that community feature begins to connect all of the acquisition community in the government together as you join it. So it gives you an opportunity to connect to others. Listening to how contracting officers and contracting specialists make decisions through our interviews, they call up people, or they go on to websites and connect into their community. They learn from each other. And so we wanted to put that in here as well. And then ACT is the idea of taking all of that information that you've gathered and using that to inform how you build your requirements, how you do your market research, and then ultimately moving to buying in a way that is putting the government to act as one. So The act as one concept is we should not be buying as 500 different contracting offices across the government. Instead, what we should be doing is really looking to leverage the government as a single buyer rather than decentralized purchasing.
I think it's a really nice way to do learn, connect, act. Imagine the act, though, is the area where you're getting the most, either you'll put the most tools in and the most pickup, because that's why you're putting this together. What are you seeing so far? Because the gateway is launched basically earlier this year. You're mm-hmm. adding more tools, more things mm-hmm. all the time. What kind of pickup are you getting so far?
We deliberately did a very, very slow rollout on the gateway. Part of the reason was, is we've been rolling out the different category hallways over the past 9 months, and we didn't want to bring people in too quickly for fear of disappointment. And so we really said, let's hold on our big outreach until we were actually to the point where we had enough information to retain and offer value. And so we're at that point now. And so what I would say is that we have deliberately been very slow. And what you're going to be seeing in the next month or two is a much more aggressive campaign to say, please come join us and help us build, help it offer your feedback. If you see a statement of work, vote on it. If you think it's good, vote on it. If you think it's bad. And let us know what your insights are into the world of acquisition.
I was struck by the expert articles portion when we poked around in the learn area mm-hmm. a little bit. Where do those come from, and how do you decide what's mm-hmm. important to your audience, to your users, to post up there?
So almost every one of those articles has been put in front of their community for that category. And so the categories are doing outreach and saying, what's important to you? What do you need to know about? Here, I wrote this article. Can you give me some feedback on it before I put it up there? Mm-hmm. So everything's vetted in that sense before we actually put it up there to make sure that it's relevant. So the learn is coming from currently many of the GSA categories. We're looking at expanding as the government-wide category managers are put in place. We anticipate and we really desire having much more input from across the government to those expert articles. I think that'll increase its value even further.
You have two things going on, because you mentioned communities of interest, you have category managers, and then I guess mm-hmm. the third thing would be the hallways in and of themselves. How many hallways are we up to now, and does each have a community of interest around it, and are those community of interest the contracting officers and the category manager? Give us a sense of how this is organized.
Right. So the way that it's at the moment, we have 17 hallways. And those are aligned to the GSA structure. As we evolve, the way it looks today is not the way it's going to look in a month. It's not the way it's going to look in 3 months. And we will evolve that based on user feedback. So the hallways are really an organizing principle. So that if you're looking to buy IT hardware, you can click on the IT hardware hallway, and everything associated with IT hardware is in that same place. That would include the solutions, it would include your community, it would include the expert articles, as well as anywhere where you can go and buy IT hardware. So yes, every category in the government has a buying community around it. And so those are the people that we're looking to tap into and bring into this so that they can share their ideas and wisdom.
And at the same time, what I thought was really cool is you mentioned about the user experience person that's their focus. They're doing these mm-hmm. interviews. Talk a little bit about that person or that office and how they're contributing to making mm-hmm. the hallways better.
So we have a lot of interviews going on. But the Acquisition Gateway team has an actual dedicated user experience. And so what she's doing is constantly going out, reaching out to customers, both internal and external to GSA, and getting their feedback on how would they use the gateway? What's valuable to them? And then we take that information and say, okay, what are our priorities to build? We get feedback from former contracting officers that say, if this existed when I was a contracting officer, my entire world would be different.
They might still be contracting officers. Wouldn't have been driven crazy.
Well, that's certainly, certainly the type of thing that we're hearing is that this is really going to change people's jobs and just how they're able to research and the depth of knowledge that they're able to get.
How do you take that feedback, though, and make mm-hmm. it, first of all, direct it that it's concrete rather than this is really great or I don't mm-hmm. care for this as much? How do you make sure that what you're getting is very defined? And then how do you process that and make that part of the next iteration?
So the way that we actually take them through scenarios, so we ask them to go, be able to go in, be able to find something, understand how you buy a laptop or a desktop, and then we watch. First of all, can they do it? And that gives us some sense of how the user experience is, because if they can't find what we're asking for, then we obviously need to do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do is we ask, okay, what would be useful? Where are the white spaces in your job? For example, we have the Calc tool, and building on the Calc tool actually takes professional services schedule labor rates and allows you to download that data. Well, what would be really cool then is taking all of that information and being able to put it into a cost estimator in the gateway, so that you're building your whole cost estimate in the gateway. You can export it and then link it up into your contract writing system. So those are the types of things that we listen for the acquisition community to tell us, what do we need to make our lives easier?
And in fact, that Calc tool, just to build on that, is something that was built by 18F. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the ones you mentioned is the killer app. I think mm-hmm. it was that, the Prices Paid portal, which you didn't show us, by the way. And of course, a couple of other things like eBuy Open, which I'm looking forward to as well.
I know you are looking forward to eBuy Open, Jason.
I won't get on my soapbox, I promise. Francis has told me no soapboxing today.
No soapboxing today. You also mentioned the Solutions Finder as one of the killer apps here. Describe that, what it does, mm-hmm. and the benefit that the COs derive from it.
Okay. So for every category, we asked the people building that category information to find all the contracts that either are government-wide or their best practice contracts. So when we launched this, we started out with a bunch of PDFs. And so you could go in and you could download a spreadsheet that said, here's the 10 contracts for IT hardware. What the Solution Finder did is it automated it. And it began to say that if I want to look at the IT category, if I want to look then at the subcategory of IT hardware, here's my 11 solutions or 15 solutions that I can buy from. And so that makes it much more dynamic. We then can link out directly to those solutions. We're working with some of those solutions, with some of the non-GSA solutions, to actually have them take ownership of their own data and their own program, so that more and more is going to be the ownership of this information is going to be spread across the government and not just owned by GSA.
What are those discussions like? Are they are some of these other stakeholders receptive to this idea,
yes.
or are they a little apprehensive of this information being collected in a place that's, I mean, to be fair, run by a competitor mm-hmm. in some cases?
I think what's been, you know, during the conversations that we've had, it's clear that by moving the government to act as one, it's not a matter of competition. It's really bringing all of our requirements together mm-hmm. in a way that makes sense. So I don't think they see it as, I would hope that people don't see it as a competition. This isn't GSA saying, please use GSA. This is GSA saying, look, we're putting up this tool for the benefit of the government, and because this aligns with the strategic direction of acquisition across the government.
What's the component, do you think, of training that should go along with this? The one place this came to mind while you were doing the demonstration was with the Calc tool, the contract awarded labor category tool.
Mm-hmm.
And you described the way that people can use that to build cost estimates.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me that somebody that didn't quite understand what the intention was would try to interpret that data as prices somebody else has paid or something like that, rather than using it to compile a cost estimate, as you said, was the intended
right.
use of that.
Right. The Calc tool is not prices paid information. It's the awarded rates on the existing contracts, not what an agency would be paying for. That education is something that we're working through, and the more that we talk to people, the better we're understanding it. Most of our adoption outreach has been so far very much of the it's going out, explaining to agencies how these tools should be used. We're going to be putting up more videos. We're going to be putting up more just sort of navigation guidance so that people understand what this information is and how to effectively use it as part of their job.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key to this, and the key really to the success of this initiative, is, as you said, to automate the tools and making the solution finder, hey, if I go to this hallway for IT hardware, as your example showed and the demo showed, I can then click on this link to buy it. And mm-hmm. because now I found it, what do I do? That's been, I think, the downfall over the years of many of these aggregate databases. Mm-hmm. If you remember, there's a GWAC database. Okay, well, great. Now I know there's 1,000 of them. What do I do next? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're finding people are most being pulled toward, that, hey, it's a one-stop shop?
That's certainly what we're hearing, is being able to put everything in a single place has significant value. And over time, we're looking at how do we expand this. Currently, the gateway is predominantly market research. But when we talk about a 6, a 12-month, a 2, 3-year vision, it's really that you'd be able to put in multiple steps along the acquisition process, moving out of just the market research phase. But actually, how do we build a tool that perhaps simplifies evaluation and brings together evaluation teams? One of the things that we've just rolled out that we're pretty excited about is a work center. And what that work center is it allows me to put in a project, it begin to compile all of my information from the gateway, from outside resources, I can upload documents, and then I'll be able to share that. The next step will be we need to build sharing it out to our teams. So those are the types of tools that we see then begin to build that end-to-end experience piece in slow piece, small pieces.
I know we want to definitely talk about the long-term vision, but let me pull us back. So you're at that phase now where you want people to use it. How are you getting people to use it beyond talking to mm-hmm. outlets like us? I've seen you do presentations at the Professional Services Council as an example. Mm-hmm. Are there specific ways you're reaching out to the contracting and acquisition world?
Yeah, there are a number of initiatives. So let me start at sort of the lowest level, which is the category initiatives. Right now, we're working with our category teams to say, how do you connect into your specific communities? How do you do that? Who do you need to connect to? How do we host either events or information that is available through the gateway? Basically, eBuyOpen for the government community is available through the gateway as an incentive to come in and see it that way. And that was our test case, and then we'll be making that public. But
yay!
But the other piece is so we're doing that. We've also been working with the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, the CIO Council, making them aware of what's available and letting them send that information out to their agencies. We've been doing significant outreach just at HHS had a big IT summit last week. We were over there and talking about sort of how this is valuable to their CIO community. So we're going to be doing more of a media campaign, and our media person will be building that. But we are doing that. We are identifying the groups who we want to be that early adoption community.
Because in many ways, it's not just the acquisition, but it's the program, but also the mission owners. Because as soon as you can get that broader take up, yep. somebody who is saying, well, I need this thing, whatever this thing, and they're buying this widget, they can start the process.
When I say acquisition, I don't think of just contracting officers and contracting specialists. Acquisition is anyone who needs to buy something. And as a program manager who buys any number of things myself, I certainly consider myself part of that acquisition workforce and would be going into the hallways to better understand how to buy that.
One of the other things about the Solution Finder and then some of the other tools, the Calc tool, the Prices Paid tool, mm-hmm. I think you're giving people a reason to come versus just, hey, we got a lot of data here. What's next? What are some of the other tools mm-hmm. that people should expect in the short term?
So we're looking at how to expand some of the decision support tools. So how do we actually take somebody through and begin to understand which contracts are going to give, what NICS codes are available on what contracts, or what product service codes are available on what contracts? How do I how do I down select? So we're beginning to actually build in slowly decision support pieces. We are looking at building in, one of our next big things is taking the statement of work library that I showed in the demo and actually make that into a statement of work builder. So not just limit it to downloading what's there, but how do we create? And then potentially can we get feedback on what we're creating within the community portion of it so that people can share it? Mm-hmm. And then also put it in their work center so their teams can comment on it. So beginning to build out the small pieces that are going to expand into supporting the whole acquisition process.
I saw you demo this, I guess it's 2 or 3 months ago now, at the ACT-IAC GWAC conference, and it looked different and had different functionalities. There were things that you said, this is coming back then, that you showed us in the demo today. How often does this change, and how often does it look different to the end users?
So for the IT geeks out there, we're using an agile development process. When we started development on this back in May of 2014, we started on 2-week sprints. We have continued 2-week sprints. Every 2 weeks, we put the new material into production. So we have new releases on a biweekly basis. So as I was telling Francis earlier, I had to go in myself earlier today and play with it because it does look different. Mm-hmm. And I know that that evolution is something that you have to adjust every time you go in. But the benefit of it is that we're very rapidly implementing the recommendations that people are making to us. One example is that we had a design where you couldn't see all the hallways at once. So people didn't realize how much was there. After hearing that feedback from our user sessions, what we did is we said, okay, let's redesign it and put all the hallways down the left-hand side so that it's taking up less real estate, but everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. And then that freed up the whole center portion of it so that people could really see what they want to work on and how what they're doing. That's how we're taking the feedback, implementing it, and we're continuing to, Agile's been a very good tool for us, a great methodology for development.
Has it been challenging to get people to understand that it's a work in progress and that it's, while it's very functional and it can do a lot, that this isn't what it's going to look like forever?
I think we've been able to get that message out there. We've very consistently said to our leadership, and I think that the more that they see exactly what you described is that it doesn't look the same a month or two later, and the types of information that we said were coming are available, that the more that we're able to build that confidence, the more that people are willing to trust us that, yes, this will happen if we have the time to actually build it in.
One of the things that when I went through it, when you showed the demo, that stood out to me was how much information is there. Are you counting on those users to guard against the information overload? Because I can only imagine as you add more tools, as you add this, for instance, statement of work builder, someone goes, I just can't deal with this. This is just too much. I'm going to go back the way I did things because habits are so hard to break.
And I think that's where we have to understand the user experience. Because if our users are telling us that they're overwhelmed coming in, then we have to provide a better path through it. I would say that the professional services hallway is already one example where they're playing with a different model. If you had looked at it 2 or 3 weeks ago, there would have been about 15 or 20 different articles on different aspects of professional services. They took the initiative to combine those into 3 major headings that then lead you to the specific articles so that you know if you're looking for a tool or a template, just click here and all of them will be listed as opposed to having to read the headlines. So it's those changes that as we get more up here, we're going to have to adjust. And one of the things about this project is there is high ambiguity. It's not laid out about what are we going to be delivering in the next 3 to 6 months to the finite level of detail. What we can tell you is that the user experience is going to continue to be one of our drivers. Addition of information and allowing other developers. So if 18F is able to develop a tool for another category, we're working with them to set up guidelines so that they can develop. How do we move that development outside of GSA so other agencies that have great ideas for acquisition and might be developing individual tools can link it into the gateway? So what I can tell you is we have those themes with where we're going. What I can't tell you is exactly what every one of those themes is going to identify and result in.
But if you lock down that confidence that we talked about a moment ago, then it doesn't seem to me that matters as much. It seems to me what's important is that the end user knows that I, as the end user, have a voice in what this looks like in the future and how it operates for me.
How are you guys measuring success with the gateway? Mm-hmm. Do you have specific metrics?
We have a couple of different metrics that we're looking at. We're looking at total number of users. So just how many people are coming in and saying hi to us. And then we're also looking at stickiness because am I coming in? Am I reading articles? Am I commenting in this community? And actually, and are we seeing value in that? And if we see an area where we're getting a lot of stickiness around particular material and a lot of people reading it, then we've obviously hit on a sweet spot. If we're seeing an area where we're seeing less of that, then maybe we need to do some either more outreach or we need to be looking at what we're putting up there.
Because one of the things that you're asking people to do is change the way they act. And especially in the acquisition community, as you probably well know, that's not an easy thing to do. So how are you giving yourselves time to say, yes, this new feature, whatever it is, has some stickiness, or no one's sticking to it? Like, how often are you re-looking at the tools and the other things you're putting up there?
We're looking at them pretty closely. We did develop one tool that's still on the gateway, and it technically was successful. We did what we wanted to do, but in terms of maintaining it, we just aren't able to maintain the data in it to make it useful. And so that's one that there is no stickiness to, and we learned a lesson. So we have had some failures where we would say, let's go back to the drawing board. Conceptually, as a government, we need to be a bit further with our data gathering and data sharing in order for this one to be effective. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at that. We haven't, we've been incrementally developing all of our tools. So even Solutions Finder, where we are today, we want to see increased stickiness as we're rolling out more features on each of the tools.
Do you have a gauge, though, for what you want that to look like? Or does that depend on how much you're able to drive traffic to the site in the first place?
It really depends on how much we're able to drive traffic. Right now, as I said, we're really beginning to aggressively start to do that. And we're seeing more and more users outside of GSA as we're increasing that outreach.
One of the big concerns that I've heard over the years about this, as you guys are developing it, and I think a lot of the concerns is because you don't know what you don't know, is from the industry side. Now, I know you guys are working on opening up the gateway for industry to a certain extent, and then I'm not sure if that's the same effort to open it publicly as well. But what kind of feedback, if any, have you heard from industry yet? Because one of their big concerns was, well, I don't want my competitor to see my prices.
So first of all, even one of the reasons that we are slowly opening it up to the public, and opening to the public is the same as opening it to industry, because we've had requests from state and local governments as well to see the types of data in the gateway. And one of the reasons it has been a slow process is we're very carefully looking at the data in the gateway to make sure that it should be publicly available. Much of it absolutely should be publicly available. The prices paid data, as you're saying, should not be. That should be available to share across the government, but that is not publicly available information. So we're working with our Office of General Counsel to make sure that we're striking the right balance between transparency and information sensitivity. So that just takes us some time to get to that point. But in terms of why we wanted category management is how the government's looking at buying. We need industry to join us in order to be successful, so that if we're putting up information in those expert articles that they're saying really aren't the best practices, they can offer us that feedback and say, you might be more effective in accomplishing your mission if you did this instead, or those statements of work aren't that great. Can you come back and here's the one that really worked for us when we were providing this service to another agency? And that would be great to be able to get to that level of information sharing and collaboration between government and industry. Is exactly where we want to be.
One of the things about opening this up to industry or opening it up to the general public is, are you also going to invite, for instance, private sector experts that maybe are not government contractors? I think the National Contract Management Association's World Congress event at GSA had a whole half day there that was very educational and a great training place. And one of the things we heard at that conference was from the head buyer from Coca-Cola, and how they were already into strategic sourcing and category management type of initiatives years and years ago. Are you going to invite maybe some of those non-government contractor experts to offer some insights as well? I mean, they can always come, but are you reaching out to them, I guess, is...
We have not done that as of yet, but we would love to be able to do that and bring that type of knowledge into the gateway. We're also relying on the category teams as well to say some of this is, what do we need from, what does my specific category, what type of expert does my category need to hear from about how to buy these things? But bringing in those category-wide experts would be fabulous. You're just getting a little bit ahead of us, Jason.
I've always been told I'm impatient.
He's a trendsetter.
The last piece of this, I guess, is that's just kind of talking about industry concerns is the small business side. Mm-hmm. One of the struggles I think the government's had with strategic sourcing is the impact on small businesses. One of the things that I think you're trying to ensure that small businesses are part of this discussion is because you're listing all the contracts that are available, whether it's something like 8A Stars or Alliance mm-hmm. Small Business or one of the many, many others that agencies have. Are you hearing, at least from small businesses and industry, that they're a little more satisfied with how this is being rolled out to encourage the use of small businesses? Or are we not that? Again, I'm getting ahead.
I think there's still significant uncertainty. So I will say that from our standpoint, we are definitely looking at small business utilization, maintaining or increasing that as one of our key metrics. And because we want to ensure that category management continues that we continue to evolve our partnership and build our partnerships with small business. How that's going to look in the gateway over time, we do have filters that allow you to get to small businesses so that you really can target that small business utilization and you can understand how to work with small businesses more easily. So it's definitely part of when I look at what am I trying to be successful with, ensuring the success of small businesses is part of that.
What else do we need to know about this that we haven't covered yet, Laura?
Just to summarize, the gateway is available to the government acquisition community. It'll be successful and more valuable the more that community uses it, the more that they bring it in. So I would urge everybody to come check it out and offer us your feedback on it. I think and there's more to come. As you heard, we release on a 2-week cycle. So if you don't see what you want, give us that feedback and let us know how to improve it.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking about it. It was a terrific demo, and we appreciate the context, the understanding of it. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.